So what makes sobriety worth it?
What makes sobriety worth it?
Welcome to the Young, Fun, and Sober podcast. I am your host, Blazik, aka Sober Guy Journal.
And I'm Julia, also known as that one sober friend on TikTok.
Knowing what I know now, I wouldn't change anything except to feel more emotionally slow down. Life's a merry-go-round. But things ain't merry when you're going through the motions. Fulfillment lies in emotion. So why go through life unavailable? You're unfailable.
This We're just,
hey.
I feel like this is like right back into it. Like
I know.
It's like Sunday, even though it's not Sunday. I just feel like
Right,
we're
but it
right on.
Feels like it.
Well, what the fuck is up? You were in Europe.
Yeah, I was in Europe. I was in India. It was a crazy 3 months. And I can't believe I'm already back in Chicago again, but the plan is that I'll be moving there permanently this summer in
Nice.
Europe,
Yeah.
to Europe. So that's super exciting. So I'm just soaking up my time here in my hometown while I can. I have to tie up some loose ends here and like sell clothes and furniture that I don't need. So that's
what was your
pretty
favorite
much
part?
My update. Oh, there were so many good parts. Every like place that I went to, there was like really good things that happened. So like, I don't know, for instance, well, when I first got there, my home base was the Netherlands, but then I did spend a decent amount of time in Spain for the holidays. Then I came back to the Netherlands. Then I left again to go to India for 2 weeks. I attended a wedding there, which was insane and
yeah, like
amazing.
Indian weddings are a
It
vibe.
felt very like, I don't know if this is going to happen again. So I need to really soak it up, soak it in. And then I spent the whole month of February in the Netherlands, which was really nice because that's where I'll be moving. So yeah, the only bad thing was just like, I kind of felt like I was just finally finding my schedule and I was making, you know, good friendships. I was starting to make good friends and then I left.
Yeah. That is tough. Like that 3 month mark, that's about where it is, huh? Like that's when you start finding your grocery store, your coffee shop, your flow.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was hard too, just because I felt like I was traveling for the majority of December and January. I mean, I did come back to the Netherlands in between, but yeah, it's just when you travel, time really flies. Like it goes
Right.
by super fast. But yeah, I just loved the experiences that I had, and I feel so, so grateful that I was able to have them. And I'm just excited now for the future, even though there's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
Lots of unknowns, job being one of them, but we're gonna
anything's
figure that
possible
out.
When there's unknowns, anything's
Yeah,
possible.
yeah. There's infinite opportunities and possibilities, so I'm not too worried about it. But what's been going on with you? What's new with you?
Not as exciting. Just working.
That's okay.
We've had an injury-filled household over here, I'll tell you that.
Oh no.
The McBrides are injured. Rocky double ACL surgery. I
Oh
go,
no.
I have hernia surgery in 2 weeks. So we've just
Oh
been,
geez.
yeah, we've just been laying low.
Yeah.
Not doing a lot, but.
Well, luckily it's winter.
It's winter,
So if you are going to lay low, I feel like now's the time to do that. But that does stink.
I've like really appreciated this winter like I've never appreciated a winter before. I normally get really sad in the winter and stuff, but and I don't know if part of it's having a job that I go to, just getting me out and being out in the world a bit more. But yeah, this like I've really just dove into the hibernation, just kind of like going into the winter vibe. And it yeah, feel like it's already March. I can't believe that. And I'm feeling good. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like winter, you can see it one of two ways where it's like you really feel deprived of all the like freedoms that summer gives, or you can see it as this is the time to wind down and let rest be a priority.
Yeah.
so that when spring comes around, you can be kind of like refreshed and rejuvenated. Yeah.
That's what I love about the Midwest is just the, like, you can't have the season of hibernating and then go into to like summer mode. When I lived in Florida, it was just summer mode 24/7, and it's cool, but you don't appreciate it the same. It's just always that vibe.
Yeah, I think being raised in the Midwest, I don't know if I would ever be cool with that, like the Florida schedule long term. Also, another thing when it comes to weather is everyone in the Netherlands kept being like, are you sure you're going to be okay with the amount of overcast there is here in the winters? The winters are really rainy. And I was like, have you guys heard of Chicago winter? Because it is not for the weak. It is not for the weak.
I've been training for this.
Yeah, just about my whole life. And I was like, we go, you know, 3+ weeks without seeing the sun. So I'm pretty used to it. The only difference though is we get around by bike there, whereas here in Chicago everyone drives or uses like public transportation. So a 10 minute bike ride in the rain starts to feel like a long time.
Not ideal,
especially when the rain is sideways and just like, no matter if you have a hood on or not, like it's like smacking you in the face.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, I really like it there. So that's good.
Well, that's exciting. That's cool. You're moving there. Yeah, that must mean everything's going well. Like,
yeah, it's going really good. Like I said, I don't have it figured out when it comes to the job thing, but I like read this book, and like since reading this book, I feel like I have like a very optimistic outlook on life / I don't know. I just have trust in myself that like I've figured it out every time before this. So I don't see why this time would be different. I have the confidence in myself that I'll figure it out.
And you can look at it as just exciting. Like unknown can be scary or unknown can be exciting. And
I read this. I'm sorry, I'm bringing up a lot of books, but there was another book that I read years ago, and it was called Choose Wonder Over Worry. And just like the title itself has like always really stuck with me, and like that's basically the energy that I'm channeling now.
No need to even read the book, just read the book.
You just need to read the title and then you're good. That's all you need.
I like those books. Those are my favorite ones.
It was a like super quick, easy read. The other one that recently was pretty profound and semi-life-changing was also pretty short, easy read. I love a self-help book if it's not gonna take me a bajillion years to read.
I feel you. Or if they say the fuck, oh god, I feel like so many self-help books, they just say the same thing and over and over, and they just like 3 chapters in a row will be the same point. They're just framing it different ways. I'm like, dude, I got it.
Right, exactly. And the one that I read, Choose Wonder Over Worry, I do kind of feel like was just like reiterating things I already knew, which is sometimes needed, like reminders. But the other one that I read was different. Like I hadn't thought about it that way. I hadn't thought about life that way. So that was cool. Just coming across like a completely new perspective. Because I feel like I really dove into like the whole self growth thing when I first stopped drinking, and then I kind of just steered away from that for a while. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like I'm back, and that was such a good book to get me back into it.
Me and my buddy Tariq were talking about this on like a different podcast. We were talking about the evolution of self-help and how at first you really dive into it and all about it, and everything in your life is about self-help. And then he was like, and then the next step is you unlearn it. And I was like, whoa, that just blew my mind. Like, it's so true. Obviously you keep what you want to keep, but so much of it is really just like what works for me, because we really know at the end of the day what to do. It's pretty obvious, but yeah, it's like you learn all the stuff and then you just kind of unlearn it. And that's the real self-help journey. That just blew my mind.
I recently watched this video on YouTube, which like doesn't even have a lot of views or anything. I have no idea how I came across this video, but it was talking about like the importance of education. And I really liked the route that it went, because it wasn't just talking about like schools, institutions, colleges, like in that education, I'm using air quotes, education sense. It was saying how like educating yourself, even beyond you graduating from either your bachelor's or like your master's, whatever. That's super important, just like us as humans.
That's the sauce.
Yes, exactly. And like when, now I'm kind of realizing that whenever I feel really lost, and there's definitely been times in my life where I just feel like purposeless and hopeless. I think that's now I'm realizing that's a really key indicator that I need to explore something. I need to challenge myself intellectually in some sense. And a lot of the time for me, that has looked like, you know, self-help books and my healing journey, my growth journey. And that's wonderful. Also this past year, as you guys know, like I started learning Spanish again for the third time, and just like, I don't know, something about learning something about dedicating time and educating yourself to basically seeing things a different way than what you once did. It gives me, at least me, it gives me some sort of sense of fulfillment and drive and purpose, which I feel like, you know, we're all looking for fulfillment and like happiness and peace, I would say. So now I am sort of realizing as I get older that when I'm having those really lost moments, it's probably because I need to challenge myself and educate myself in some sense. I don't know if that made sense.
No, I mean, you got to do something. And like, we have time, like there's a lot of time to fill, and you got to do something. And I feel like our body naturally kind of guides us into the easy thing, which would be Netflix,
autopilot,
relaxing, which is oddly comfortable and oddly unsatisfying, even though it's what we want to do. At least that's how I feel. Like I want to do, my natural instinct will probably always be, I want to do nothing, but my brain is like, but you're going to feel so much better if you do this and this and this. So whether that's a challenge, whether that's learning, whether that's working on something, I've kind of been getting into woodworking lately. I'm awful at it, but the learning curve is so big for me right now that it's just kind of fun to piddle around and really dial in on something and focus hard on it. Yeah, that's been really fun for me. You have to do something, you know?
Yeah, I think that's also like the situation you just brought up is a reason why people don't seek out to learn something new, is because they are worried about that. Like in the beginning, you have to be bad at whatever you're doing. And that just sounds intimidating. Totally understandable. Totally understand that. I mean, like me trying to speak in Spanish a year ago, like couldn't even remember like hardly anything that I learned in college or high school. But if you ride through that, you know, you can actually find something that's like really, really good for you. I would say that woodworking is like a great example, because you're working with your hands.
Yeah.
And I think any time that you really need a break from your own thoughts is when you're working with your hands, or you're moving your body, something like that. And another thing I wanted to bring up too, when it comes to, you know, learning something new or educating yourself about something, was like, that was a huge thing that I faced when I first stopped drinking, because as I've said 1,000 times, like I took that break and then I ended up going back to drinking, and it was like, but then I never saw alcohol the same, because I had the education that I didn't have once before.
Yeah.
So it's just weird how like, I'm starting to think like, is this what life is all about?
I mean, kind of like, it's, I know it sounds so simple, but it's like you either do nothing or you do something. And
yes.
One of those is going to lead to a fulfilling life. You do nothing or you do something. And then you, what's cool about life is you get to choose the something. Like no one gets to assign that to you. You mm-hmm. just get to choose the somethings that you want to do. And that's what makes you who you are. And that's what makes you unique and interesting. And, but it's all just whatever, you know, whatever clicks with you. And I, back to what you were saying earlier, where you said, it's scary or it sucks to be bad at something. Mm-hmm. It does. But like, if you can be comfortable with that and really dive into the moment, you can get one, you're going to get decent at it quickly for most things. Like it's not hard to become decent at something.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's just so fun to be bad at something. If you can let go of the embarrassment, because being bad at something when you're by yourself is not that, like, that's not embarrassing. It's mm-hmm. only when you're in front of people. So
it's only when you let yourself be embarrassed.
Yeah.
That it's embarrassing. Yes.
Yeah. So if you can dive into something that you're bad at, it's really the most fulfilling activity that one can do. It's like, if I were to go do something I'm good at, I know I'm good at that. That's cool or whatever, but that's not near as fun as learning to salsa dance. And you're like, whoa, I couldn't do any of this a month ago. This is
right.
crazy. You know, so there is something to being bad at something and diving into it and learning and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also another thing too, I think it's great to sort of navigate or figure out points in your life where doing nothing is actually really important. I feel like since I've taken this break from working, which is like, mm-hmm. this is the first time I've taken a break from working since I was legally allowed to work at 16. So that was, you know, 12 years of my life.
Yeah.
Just like nonstop, had one job, if not two, if not three at one time. Just like super grind mentality. And it's been really nice to have this time to do nothing.
I was going to say, I don't think you did nothing, but I know what you're
saying. I sound like I've been doing nothing, but it's like, I fill my days with learning Spanish. I fill my days with painting. I fill my days with reading, you know, it's just a slower way of living. And it's nice because I feel like we can get just so caught up in that autopilot, that hamster wheel mm-hmm. mode. And sometimes that is completely needed. Like, you know, back when I was in credit card debt, like I had to grind. I had to grind. I didn't have another choice. That was my one option. But now that I'm in a different, you know, time in my life, and, you know, thankfully I was, you know, fortunate enough and disciplined enough to save for as long as I did to allow myself this time. I don't know. I guess just both things can simultaneously be really important as long as you know what's the right time for each thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, work is obviously doing something, but that's not necessarily what I had in mind when I was even thinking that stuff. And,
true.
And like you said, there's seasons of like right now I'm diving into work and that feels mm-hmm. good. That's what I want to do. That's what aligns with my priorities. But then there's other seasons. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily, like, I'm more so just working to pay my bills. But then there's other times that I'm more into it. So,
yeah. Right, like you're working towards some type of end goal or something like that. It's like you still going to work, but it could mean something different to you.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did bring a sobriety topic.
I would love to.
I didn't think much about it. I just wrote it down before.
Sure.
And it's pretty vague, but let me.
It's been a minute since I've talked about sobriety, I feel. So.
Has it?
Yeah. 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 A little bit.
So what makes sobriety worth it?
What makes sobriety worth it? Can you hear my cat crying at the
No,
door?
Can you hear my dog licking?
No.
Cool. We're good.
Okay. Great. Sounds good. Dang, I don't know why that's hard to
I know, it's like so vague. And the worth it is like the intimidating part. Like, what does make it worth it?
Well, because like the first thing that's coming to my mind genuinely is I would not be where I am today, and I wouldn't be in the position that I am today if it wasn't for me making that decision, you know, over 2 years ago when I dedicated, you know, my future to alcohol-free life. But what I will say is it has become such a normal part of my life now. Yeah. It's like I've, you know, I don't really ever check my day count. Like it's just my life. It's just something that I've come to accept and surrender to, I guess. And so now it's like, I know that I have everything that I have today hugely just from it being like a side effect of me not drinking anymore. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I guess it's difficult to answer now because it's not something that I think about every day.
Yeah. No, it is like a tough question. Like, I mean, I would guess for me, what makes sobriety worth it, I would just say, oh gosh, now we're about to drink water. It's going to be loud. For me, what makes it worth it is just being able to make the decisions that I want to make. Mm. Because I feel like when I'm drinking, I'm not the one making those decisions. I'm more so acting out of necessity, kind of like what needs to be done in that moment, what I have to do, what's going to make me feel better. Those are the decisions I'm making. They're just such low level decisions mm-hmm. and low vibration decisions, just right. kind of getting me to that next step. Whereas I feel like, and maybe this is kind of what you're saying too, but I feel like with sobriety, it just gives me the space to, for everything to happen, for me to make decisions, for me to do activities, for me to really anything is just way easier. Like, okay, maybe this is the way to say it. For me, what makes sobriety worth it is it lowers the barrier for me to do anything. Mm. Because when I was drinking, there was just always this obstacle, whether it was the anxiety, whether it was the hangover, like whatever that might be, there was just always a barrier to do anything.
Right.
And then for me now, I don't feel like there's a barrier. I can just look at something. If I want to do it, I can do it.
I'm glad that you're saying it this way, because I feel like now it I'm seeing it as like, it's sort of the difference between like instant gratification and like you having to put in like work or time or energy or dedication to something that's like truly worth it in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like drinking was so, it was very, I hope I'm not too woo woo when I'm like talking about this, but it just felt very like fast and like
life went fast.
Yeah. Like it's just, I don't know. Like it was like, I couldn't even, sometimes it would go so fast that I didn't even have like a second to like appreciate the good time that I was having. 'Cause like the point of me like drinking for so many years was me just like going out to have fun with my friends. Yeah. How many times did that not end up being how the night ended? But that was the intention. That was the intention in the beginning. And it was just like, yeah, it was just very fast, exciting, and just like, but short-lived. Yeah. And then it came with consequence. So those are all, I don't know. After a while, it was like, it just started to like not feel worth it. Yeah. I'm like, I'm losing a lot and I feel like I'm not gaining a lot.
I think this. For me, like I replaced that word excitement with chaos, because like chaos can be good and bad.
Yeah, at least. No, exactly.
So I just like, I mean, we've used that word a ton on this podcast, but the chaos for me, I think for you, like alcohol was introducing chaos into our life.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever form that might come in, that might come in a high and a really fun night, but it could also come in a very different form.
And because I was in such an unhealthy place mentally, I was so used to chaos. It was chaos in my head 24/7. So it was like, of course that would bleed into what my social life looked like. You know what I mean? I was most familiar with that feeling.
Yeah.
But then taking it away and me realizing like the shit that actually makes me happy is like feeling good about myself, going to the gym, painting, mm-hmm. reading, you know, having healthy relationships with my family, my friends, my partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it takes work to do all of those things and it takes patience and it's not as, maybe it doesn't look as glamorous,
mm-hmm.
but now I know, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm here on this earth to experience happiness and peace and fulfillment. And alcohol has never given me those things in the long run. So I'm just going to go ahead and take its word for it that it never will in the future too.
Yeah. See, that's an interesting point because for me, it actually did give me some of those things like temporarily. And I've heard the saying, it's like it works until it doesn't as far as alcohol goes. Mm. Like everyone normally starts drinking for some reason. Like it gives you something at first. And I feel like I had a pretty long ride with it where it really did make me feel calm. It made me feel happy. It made me feel peace. But then we started creeping into this like zone where it definitely didn't.
Right.
And that's when I was like, wait a second. Like this is... And then when you're drinking, when you don't want to drink, like that's always kind of one of those weird moments where, and I even like see that a lot during dry January, like people don't want to do it, but then like the third day they're drinking and they're like, it's almost like a light switch for some people during that time. Like, wait a second. Like I don't know why I'm drinking.
Right.
Just kind of like the habit of it or. Maybe there is more of a physical addiction than they know, but yeah, it definitely worked for me until it didn't, but also worked for me is kind of funny to say because it was such a chore to keep up. It was just the tool I had at the time.
Right. Until you discover that other tools are available to you.
Yeah.
Education. You have to educate yourself to get to that point. If you don't know that it's even an option, of course you're not going to think about it. Also another thing too is like I so oftentimes look back on my relationship with alcohol and I see it as sort of like a relationship and how in the mm-hmm. beginning it was like honeymoon phase as fuck.
Yeah.
Rose colored glasses on, activated, like who could ever hate alcohol? This is great. You know, me like 14 in some like, you know, dude's basement, like with my girlfriends. And we just think we're cool. And so.
Don't you hate when that pops up on Facebook memories or any of that? It's like, oh.
I deleted my Snapchat app because I just like can't with my memories from college. Because I saved like everything in my Snapchat memories.
And that's like, you know, Snapchat was in its prime in college. So like heavy college.
One of my main social medias at the time. Yes. Yeah.
Brutal.
So, you know, that honeymoon phase lasted years. It lasted years, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And it's so strange because it's like then like at least for me, I can only speak off my experience. Like it transitioned into like. No, I was like kind of seeing alcohol for what it was and how it's like it's imperfect and like that's mm-hmm. kind of what happens with like a relationship. You get so far in and then you're like, "Oh, you're actually human. You have flaws, you know? You're not perfect."
That's such a good comparison.
Right. It's like, I thought you were a superhero cuz that's how I've looked at you since I met you, you know, since we fell in love. And then, but, you know, you can reach that and you can still be like, okay, but it's not that bad, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has flaws. Everyone gets hangovers. Everyone does stupid things when they're drunk. It's not enough to convince me to stop.
Yeah.
But then I got to this, you know, phase in my relationship, again with the air quotes, with alcohol, where it was like the bad times are now outweighing the good. How much is this taking from me? That, you know, maybe it doesn't have to, and maybe the thought of letting go is just so intense and scary because you've just gotten so used to it being around. Like, you've gotten so used to your partner being around. And it can be such a hard thing to accept when you know that it's run its course and it's time to let go. And change is so terrifying, so scary. It is. But thankfully, sobriety has shown me that change can be beautiful, change can be wonderful, change can be just what you need. The exact thing that you need in that moment is change. So it's another reason why I think it's worth it, because it's not all that for me.
Yeah, it's just such a act of self-love too when you know that a change is needed, whatever it is in life, alcohol, relationship, but you know a change is needed and you're willing to like advocate for yourself. It's easy to advocate for our friends, our family, our pets. Like, it's easy to advocate for those things because we can somewhat remove emotion from it. But when it's ourselves, it's a lot harder. It's hard. Like, you kind of know what you crave. You know what emotionally you want. You know, craving. Like, yeah, like with alcohol, it would just be, oh my gosh, that's going to make me feel comfortable. That's going to make me feel okay. It's going to make me feel whatever we think it's going to make us feel for that time. And to be able to be like, hey, to be real with yourself and be like, yo, long term, this is running us to the ground. Like,
right.
I know that you don't want to make this change, but you know, and I know, and we all know, like, that's the move for you. It's not the move for everybody, no matter what the situation is. But when you feel, when you know that for yourself, and you can, and in a relationship, you know, if you can risk standing up for yourself, knowing that you're potentially going to lose the relationship or you're straight up breaking up with someone, you're still advocating for yourself, and that change is going to suck and it's going to be scary, but you still know in your heart that that's like best long term. And that's, it is a cool thing.
Yeah,
it's a brave thing.
It's an extremely courageous thing to do. And kind of what you're explaining too is like, that's why it's so, I feel like it's so easy to give advice and it's so hard to take it.
It is.
It's so hard to take it. Especially when like you could give yourself the advice that you exactly need to hear. For some reason, it's just like so hard to process and accept yourself.
That's why we don't ask for advice sometimes. Like, that's why when I've relapsed, hey, I'm not calling you, Julia. Like, I know what you're gonna say. I don't want to hear that right now. Like,
sure.
So, yeah, it's you. Go ahead, but like we, yeah.
At the end of the day, I feel like we do know what we need. It's just it's sometimes another way. Man, I'm really with the metaphors today. But like, another thing I think about is like, you know, like a death of a person or like a breakup with somebody, it's like you have to go through a grieving process whenever you lose something. And when it comes to me with alcohol, it was like I was the one deciding if this relationship with alcohol was coming to an end. It's not like death where it's like that's chosen for us, you know what I mean? It's not like a breakup with a person that is breaking up with you and it's like it's not your choice. You have to go through the grieving process whether you like it or not. Whether you accept it or not is then gonna, you know, delay you getting back to a point of peace. But with alcohol, it's so tricky with any type of substance. It's tricky because it's like you have to decide when that comes to an end. And it's also like alcohol's never going to just be like abolished from you. Yeah. It's, you all, you're technically always going to have access to it.
Ooh. That's true. I've never thought about it. Like in a relationship, you can go no contact and never see your ex.
Yeah, so it's like you even if you go into the denial phase of grief, like at least that grief process is starting. You know? And when it comes to substance, it's like, you know, like I know this is good for me. I know I need to just like rip the Band-Aid off and get that process started, but damn, does that sound so scary, because I'm invoking pain upon myself. It might be necessary pain, but it's still pain, you know? So I think that could be a reason why it's so difficult for people to make this decision.
And like we were talking at the start of the call, like pain. Actually, my mind just went totally blank.
Well, I have something to.
I had the perfect ribbon to tie.
Well, what I was, well, a thing that I talk about, I'm like kind of in the middle of maybe writing a book. Okay, I am writing a book. Whether it gets finished or not, I don't know. So y'all need to not hold me to that, but I am in the middle of writing a book. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is how change and something that is unfamiliar, something that is uncomfortable, something that is painful could be the thing that we need most in that moment. Simultaneously, the thing that is the most comfortable, is the most familiar, feels the best, could actually be the most harmful to you in that moment. So we can trick ourselves so fast and so easy because our mind is just like seeking comfort where it should be seeking, you know, challenging ourselves, challenging that comfort zone. Because in the long run, that is actually going to be helpful. Whereas those other things that feel so familiar and comfortable are harmful.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And that's there. You know how we always talk about there's like different parts of our consciousness. Like there's the part that realizes you're anxious, or there's the part that realizes you're doing something stupid. I feel like there's that part for what you're talking about too, where I know that's going to make me, or I know this is comfortable and I know I want to do this and all of that. But also there's that part above that like really knows the truth. That's like, nah. Like,
and it's like, but, which one are you going to channel into?
And that's why we feel guilty when we do the wrong thing. Because it's like, we know. We just don't want to hear it. Like guilt doesn't come out of nowhere. It's because we did or we're doing or we did something that we know doesn't align with our values, and that's where the problem is.
And it can be confusing because it's like, you know, a lot of the times when I would drink, I was just like overly emotional. That could come out in the form of sadness, that could come out in the form of anger. And it was because, you know, I was traumatized as a child, and that wasn't my fault by any means. But you know, when you're in your 20s, you're realizing how much of your future is going to be dependent on like what you're willing to start taking responsibility for and what you're not.
Yeah.
And I don't need to take responsibility for my past trauma. I don't think I'm not asking myself of that. I'm not asking anyone else to do that. But in my brain, it was like, okay, but I deserve an adulthood that is filled with a lot of peace and happiness and fulfillment. So I need to start doing the work that I need to heal those past wounds. Or else that's when like generational trauma becomes a thing, because it becomes this cyclical like fire that just like can keep roaring and getting bigger and getting worse until we do the hard thing, which is like therapy and reevaluating our relationship with substance, and can be so many different things. But
yeah,
not easy.
It's not, but as long as we're showing up, that counts for something.
It really
counts for everything.
Does. It counts for everything. All that's literally all that we can do. And if we do fuck up, showing back up for yourself is always an option.
Yeah.
It's always an option.
And for some reason, that's like the harder. Sometimes we can convince ourselves that, oh, I already fucked up. Might as well keep fucking up. Like, that's. Like, my therapist just had me delete all trackers, data, whether it's alcohol tracker, my fitness tracker, like, my health tracker. She had me delete all of it, or suggested strongly that I delete all of it, because I dive into data, and I'm like, well, I already messed this up. Might as well not work out the entire rest of the week, because I didn't hit my, you know what I mean, or whatever it might be. You know, drank this time, so I only have one day of sobriety. What's the point of even trying? Like, those things, when you're, I guess maybe how my brain works, like, it just convinces me of those things. So, like, trackers, I'm out on them. More just like, this is who I am, and I'm living within here. Then if I fuck up a day, I'm like, well, I'm still me.
Right. And I think that some people, the whole counting thing really works. And then there's some people where it's like, let's literally just worry about the present. Let's literally just worry about what's happening right now today.
Yeah.
Because anything bigger than that is too much. And I don't blame them. I could totally see that perspective too. Mm-hmm. So you really have to find what works best for you, because what works for you is going to not work for the next person, and vice versa.
Right. That's the beauty of it. We're all just figuring this shit out.
It's the beauty of it, and it's the really hard thing about it, because if only it was so easy that it was like, you need to do exactly this. And it's I wish there was a guidebook to life, but fortunately there is not.
Then we wouldn't even know each other, because there would be no point in diving into the world of sobriety. There'd be like
deep connection with other human beings, like, that wouldn't even really exist, probably, if we all knew what we were doing.
It's funny, like, every time I think I want something easy, it's almost like, it's just like, I don't know. That's, and you get it and it's easy. It's like, thought that would feel different.
Right.
That's the challenge. Like we were saying earlier, like, the challenges, the struggle. Whoa, did you hear that one?
That did come on the mic a little bit.
Oh, gnarly. He's on like 12 meds a day right now, because
he's
under the knife.
Poor guy.
Oops. Well, we can wrap it. Maybe we'll leave a little cliffhanger. Maybe we'll be back. Maybe we won't.
Maybe we'll be back. Maybe we won't. This was really nice. I'm glad that you texted me, and I feel like I actually really needed this. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do it next week. You never know.
See. We'll see. All right,
later. Good catching up. Bye. Peace.